We want to thank you for tuning in to the Good News Jesus Christ.org. We're going to be continuing our synopsis on the Epistle of Romans chapter 9. The Epistle of Romans chapter 9, Paul starts out with, "I tell you the truth in Christ, that I wish myself could be under a curse, that my fellow kinsmen of the flesh would see Christ according to the promises that were promised for the sons of adoption and for the covenants given, the law, and that they would come to faith." So it's important to point out in this first section here in Romans chapter 9 that there's two ways that sons of God is used in the scriptures. Like in chapter 8 of Romans, for instance, it is used as sons of God who actually become sons of God by their spirit identifying with God's spirit and crying out to the Father, and then receiving spiritual generation. And then there's this context where it's actually talking about looking forward to the promise to come of the promise to of conversion as sons of God, so to speak. So it's actually talking about they were given the promises to come, looking forward to the adoption as the sons of God. So he's actually using that particular phrase in that context. So he actually goes on to shift to Abraham and God's promise about the seed to come. And what he actually states there is quite a few things. That he tells Abraham that, you know, in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and that the promise, according to Romans 9, is saying that it was not given to Abraham, but it was given that Abraham seed, but to his actual son seed. So he actually starts this section off by saying not all of Israel is Israel, but those that are Israel according to the flesh that are not converted are not Israel, but those that are according to faith, those are true Israel. So that's how he starts the section off. And he actually continues with this analogy of this promise seed. It's important to understand that Galatians 3:16 says, "To the seed singular, being Christ Jesus," where the promise came through. So this is actually a picture. When God's telling Abraham, "In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed," he's actually using this as an analogy to show that the promised seed is going to come in Jesus Christ, singularly will be that seed, Galatians 3:16. So what this analogy is actually pointing out is it finishes off this second section of Romans 9 talking about how Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob, and he says that the older son will serve the younger son, and that and the actual clarification there is understanding the law, the firstborn always got the birthright or the inheritance, but in this case Jacob got the inheritance. And the scripture says that Esau, he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans or soup. So what Esau is contextually here is he's the picture of Adam, who actually broke God's command, and then sin and death came in and actually came to all mankind, so to speak. So the analogy he's actually giving here is that Jacob, being the born again man, is the one that received the promise. So here's what the picture is actually saying, giving you a little bit of context there. What it's actually showing is that Abraham is a picture of the father who states throughout scripture, "I'm going to send my son, and my son's going to save the world because I love the world." So his son, being Jesus Christ, is that seed. And we, being firstborn, were like Esau, who were under sin. But since Christ made a new and living way, as the head of a spiritual race, we were able to be born again, second born, receiving the birthright through Christ Jesus. We become a co-heir with Christ. So that's what the picture is actually showing here, that not all of Israel is Israel. But those that receive Jesus Christ and become born again are true Israel, and that's what this picture's showing here. Then he goes to the third section of Romans 9 here, and he actually starts talking about Pharaoh. Now, it's important to understand whenever we're looking at Pharaoh that when you go to the context, this is a huge text that's used, so to speak, for predestination or Calvinism, so to speak. And I actually want to show you what the actual context states. I don't want to get into those variations of it, but if we look at what the Pentateuch shows us, whenever it's talking about Egypt, whenever it's talking about the slaves underneath Pharaoh and them having their taskmasters and crying out to God to free them from their oppression, God raises up Moses and sends Moses in. And the scripture, contextually speaking, of Pharaoh states that Pharaoh hardened himself, and then later on, and this is chronologically going through the context in the Old Testament, it says he hardened himself again. So the scripture shows us a few times where Pharaoh hardens himself, and then after that it says the Lord hardened him. So what this context here is actually showing in Romans 9 is that God shows his vessels of mercy, and he shows that they are vessels of wrath, so to speak. He shows his compassion. So God was actually giving Pharaoh a chance, but Pharaoh was hardening in himself and over and over and over. So finally, God used him as a vessel to show his power. And he actually was actually demonstrating that he is God even over Pharaoh through the plagues. So Pharaoh wound up releasing the people, and that's what this picture is actually showing, that God's demonstrating his power and showing that there are vessels of mercy and then vessels of wrath. The vessels of mercy, there'll be those that accept and won't harden themselves, and then there are those where they harden themselves. And in this context, he's actually showing he made his power known through Pharaoh to show his compassion for Moses to get Pharaoh to let his people go. So that's what the context here is actually showing. And those that reject, contextually in Romans 9, obviously, since it's in this context, those that are of Israel that reject and harden themselves are going to be vessels of wrath. Those that receive will be vessels of mercy, because he's going to be able to regenerate them and make them true Israel. So that's what this context is showing. So it kind of closes out the chapter to give us a few quotes from the Old Testament. I'll just give you a few just off the top of my head here. The first one that it goes into is, it says, "I'll call the people that are not my people, my people." This is out of Hosea. So they had the covenant of the law and was supposed to be God's chosen people in type. Okay, let's understand that. But it says they were not my people, but he will make them his people by making a way if they convert. So contextually, he's putting that quote in here to show that those that convert, that come to Christ, they are true Israel, and they become his people, who, according to type, that had the law, were, according to the flesh, the chosen people, but in type, the actual substance of those shadows, what they were pointing to, is them converting to Christ and actually becoming God's true people. So that's what that's there. And then he says, "Unless the Lord of Sabbath would have left us a seed," Christ being that seed, Galatians 3:16, "we would have all been like Sodom and Gomorrah." So God is actually showing that he is faithful to his promise for Israel. And earlier in the text, it says that God's not a liar, he fulfills his promises. And in another text, people use this particular phrase. It says, God says all of Israel will be saved, and if God, all of Israel is not saved, then God's a liar. No, God's not a liar. He's actually showing that he's not a liar in this context when he makes that previous statement in Romans chapter 9. that he's actually fulfilling his promise, because all of those that convert to Christ Jesus, that become true spiritual Israel, they will all be saved. And that's the promise he was making. So everything in the Old Testament was according to a mystery. Everything in the New Testament was revealed in Christ. It's no longer a mystery. This is one of the revelations that have been revealed. So you must come to Christ to become true spiritual Israel. So this is what this context is saying. I hope that this gives you some insight. And I'm Martin Williams with the Good News Jesus Christ.org.